stuck in your head? Huh? Besides annoying. Does anybody know what it's called? Earworm. It is an earworm. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so this morning I had this song stuck in my head, and even though it had good connotations, it wasn't about the Lord, but I could make it about the Lord. Do you know what I mean? So I turned on my phone that has music in it and put in a Christian radio station thingy that just automatically plays. And then this one song came on, and I knew I'd heard it before, but it didn't sound the same. And so I got to thinking about the words, and I'm wondering if the song would have played the way I remember it, if God would have even been able to speak to me, because you know how sometimes you just sing a song that you know and it's like old hat and you're just singing it. But it was so different that it made me listen. Does that make sense? I had to listen to the words, because it's like, do I know that song or don't I know that song? I think I do know that song. But as the song was playing, the words were, you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. And that reminded me so much of Abram, when Abram was going to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac, his son, because he was being obedient to God. And as I got to thinking about that, I'm like, wait a second. God tells us to provide the fire, that he'll provide the sacrifice. We all sit waiting for God to hit us with this fire, hit us with this power, hit us with... But he's saying, you need to provide something yourself. You need to bring fire. You need to bring a hunger. You need to bring something to the table. And then I'll provide. And the funny thing about it is when we make it up in our mind, today, Lord, I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth, no matter what that looks like, sounds like, feels like, whether it's comfortable for me, whether it's not comfortable for me, whatever it is, God, I'm going to provide the fire. And then he's going to provide the sacrifice. And the wonderful thing about it is when we determine that within our spirit, sacrifice is already on the way. The ram was already coming up the other side of the mountain for Abram. God had already sent that ram up. God is already sending up for you whatever it is that you need this morning. So if you feel comfortable and you want to stand, let's stand. Let's worship the Lord together today. And as we do, you guys, bring something to the table. Whatever it is, whatever God's saying to you, get on your knees, you know, dance around an aisle, stand there and clap. Whatever it is, do it with all your heart. Do it with all intentions that this is the way I'm going to love my God this morning. And do you know what? He'll provide something for you that you need. Desperately need, as Abraham needed that ram. Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful, God, for your word. We're thankful, God, for the Holy Spirit, and we're thankful, God, for this opportunity that we can all come together, and not just come together to chalk up another day, but God, come together because we get to, we are privileged to worship you in spirit and in truth. We get to do that. What an honor. What an honor, God. So, Father, let our worship be true today. Let our hearts be true today, whatever that looks like. And however you need it from us, help us to be brave and courageous, God, to just worship you and love you, God. We thank you for today in Jesus' name.
This is so- sinking sand. There's no other place to be right now than right here in His presence.
place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love.
Yes, Lord.
Feel the warmth of your embrace.
Yes.
You were the one.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your name being powerful. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everything in our lives, you are the source. Your name is beautiful, Lord. When our lives are wrecked and our lives are broken, Lord, you bring your name in and it makes us beautiful. We thank you for that, Lord. Your name is wonderful, Lord. Lord, when we don't know, Lord, where to go and what to do, Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and guides us wonderfully in life. Your name is wonderful. Lord, your name is powerful. Lord, when the enemy's come and tied us up, when he's chained us, when he's put a veil of darkness over our eyes, Lord, you come and deliver us. You come and set us free. Your name is powerful. We just enter into your name this morning, Lord. By faith, we step in right now to the name of Jesus and the power and the beauty and the wonder that that brings. We release every work, Lord, that that name brings into our lives right now by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fire that's burning in us right now, God. Thank you, Lord, that's burning up all the chaff. Everything that's not of you, Lord, is burning up right now. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So have you guys ever gone over to someone's house and you get there and there's like cleaning that's been going on, and there's like all this preparation because you're a guest and you're coming over, and it's like the people who are going to receive you held you in high value, and so they basically prepared their habitation so that you could come in and enjoy yourself. Sometimes there's coffee all ready to go, and other times there's a meal. Sometimes if we know that someone's come over a couple days ahead of time, Gay will bake something that we can't eat, but she'll... the point being is that you're preparing your habitation for the Lord, and we get to do that for the Lord. Yeah, you can invite the Lord over to do that if you want, but for your guests. But we can prepare our hearts and our lives just like that for the Lord. Entertain His presence. And sometimes that means we need to clean up some of the stuff's been going on in our lives, you know. You don't just want to hide it from God because you know it's there. better just throw it out if it doesn't belong in the house. But what I'm saying is when we're in worship, and you know, maybe there's just some soft music playing, just slow lightly under your breath, I'll just say, thank you, Jesus. Just start there. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe that's all it's going to take. Thank you, Jesus. Next thing you know, you're going to be maybe saying, thank you, Jesus, for your love. You know, and it doesn't have to go along with the music. I mean, it's nice kind of in your soulish part when you can hear that. But what you're doing is you're entertaining. You're kind of preparing your heart for Him and His habitation. He's there, but it's almost like you're awakening in making yourself aware of His presence. Just like when we say, draw me close to you, it's not like we're away from God. It's not like He's, you know, across the galaxy and we have to like, oh, Lord, draw me close to you. I'm such a miserable, you know, wretched thing. And, you know, and I need you to, what we're really saying is, Lord, awaken my heart that you're inside of me.
So I got to say, just so you guys will remember this little talk, I remember years ago when we were in women's cell group and someone's like, entertain the presence of the Lord. What does that mean? And one gal says, oh, you're going to entertain. And they just started doing this like that, you know, like. But no, what entertain the presence of the Lord means is that you're going to allow Him to come in and be preeminent or prominent in your life instead of you.
Yeah.
Meaning he, you're going to think on Him. You're going to allow Him to garner your thoughts and give you words or whatever. So when He says entertain the presence of the Lord, that doesn't mean you're going to do a jig or anything. I mean, you can if that's what God tells you to do, but normally it's drawing in close to Him and allowing him to take over and be the one that you're thinking of and that you're dwelling on and that you're drawing close to and all of those things.
Kind of consumed with for the moment.
Consumed.
Yeah, you're kind of letting yourself become consumed and absorbed in who He is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that word.
Makes sense to you and I. So that's good. As long as we got it. All right. So last week, if you remember right, I handed out some questionnaires. And so anyone who didn't get one last week, I'll make sure you get it this week. Hopefully I have enough. What this is about is, and I'm going to go ahead and read this first. This is key questions for 2018. If you'd like to participate in seeking the Lord for divine direction and spiritual insight for One Life Family Worship for 2018, please take some time and ask the Lord these questions. You're hearing the will of the Lord for our church is just as necessary as anyone else. If during your seeking the Lord, you hear other questions that may need to be addressed, please write them down as well. Make sure to turn these back in. Your input is valued highly. Thank you. Question one is, and these aren't numbered, but what do you want for One Life in 2018? What do you, Lord, want for One Life in 2018? What does 2018 mean for One Life, should say Lord? And what are some key points you, Lord, want us to cover in 2018. What does 2018 mean for the body of Christ as a whole? So these are some questions that if you desire, you can take some time and, you know, in your quiet time, you know, you can do it while you're driving. You don't have to, you know, like be all spiritual about it. Just start asking the Lord, what do you want for One Life in 2018? Now, some of you may think, well, why would I be getting that? I'm just, you know, a person that comes on Sunday morning. Why would the Lord tell me what he wants for One Life? Because you are highly valued and highly esteemed in God. And in our sight, you are too. And so your input, especially when you're seeking the Lord and asking him these questions, is greatly valued, more than valued. It's necessary. It's needed. So I would love it if everybody participated. And I would love it if everybody got a different facet, like a diamond, of who we're to be. And I mean, what an amazing thing that would be, that we all have like our heart in what God's doing. I mean, we do. We come on Sunday and we sing. But what if we all had like a part of the vision that God gave us for this house? I know it sounds pretty outlandish. How can that happen? But it can happen. And so you can hear from the Lord just as much as we can. And just because you're asking, you know, for your personal life sometimes, and you can do that, and you think, well, how can I ask for the whole church? It's no different. It's the same God. He's speaking to you. It's just that you're focusing on this question, and believe me, he will answer. Mm-hmm. If you give him time, just listen, and what you hear, write it down. You don't have to answer all four. You may just get one word. Someone just got one word, but they got a lot of details about that one word. And so, you know, just prayerfully consider it. So who didn't get one last week? Do you want one, huh? All right. Did you guys get one last week? You didn't? Okay. Do you want two? Probably. Thank you. Do you guys want one? Cleaning me out here. Okay. I have to get some more. All right.
Moses and Gina.
Huh?
Moses and Gina.
Yes. I'll give one to Andrew if he wants to. Please hold it. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's where it's at. No.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, just
praise
a little bit of housekeeping.
Technical issues.
The word that, when he was saying that, I just kept hearing, it may be very practical what the Lord's giving you. It doesn't have to be like, you know, ultra spiritual. It may be just, you know, something very, very practical, like starting a nursery, or, you know, we want anything that God's speaking to you. We want to hear it as a whole team, as a whole body. So that's that. Just know that the Lord wants to talk to all of us. We're his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice.
Amen. Yep. We hear his voice. Amen. Yes. If we listen, we hear his voice.
Yes.
So we're back in John, and today we're going to talk about living water. John 4:10 through 16, and the passage before kind of sets the stage, so I think I have a few verses that I'll have you read previous to John 4:10, so,
okay.
Oops, there you go.
You want me to read all these?
Yeah.
Okay, John 4:6-9, this is in the New Living Translation. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, because it was Jacob's well, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." Verse 16, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her.
I put 16 in there just as kind of like a little bit of a segue into the next week's, or the next time we go over it, but really want to focus on is the living water today. And if we remember right, this was an encounter that Jesus purposed in his heart to have with this woman. It said that he needed to go through Samaria, and he ended up at this well, and all his disciples leave him. He's by himself, and he ends up encountering this woman at noontime. And as Gay said last time, this woman was one that was probably an outcast because of all her activities, and she was there during the middle of the day. Nobody else was there during that part of the day because everybody else is getting water when it's cool in the morning. And Jesus, you know, asks her this question. "Give me a drink." And she says, oops, I got to go back one. Hang on. Yeah, I'll leave that there. Oops. Hang on. Hold on. Yeah, Jesus asks her. Verse 8. "He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village for food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. She said to Jesus, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?'" And so Jesus is asking a Samaritan woman, no less, to give him a drink. And she's like, I don't even know why you even want to deal with me. And so Jesus goes on to say, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. So I think this is an interesting turn. Jesus is first of all asking her for a drink, and she's like getting almost offended that he's talking to her. But then he turns it on her and says, now, if you really realized who I was, I wouldn't be the one asking for something. You would be asking for something. And I think sometimes, the very beginning of this, I think this is one of the things that sometimes we end up having this shortcoming with God, is that we truly don't realize who he is. We truly don't realize his heart towards us. We truly don't realize that he's been the one wanting to encounter us, and that he has something for us. That we necessarily need to just, you know, communicate with him and, you know, get all our Christianese in order, all our ducks in a row, all our check marks in sync, so we can get, you know, our quotas in for being Christian, whatever. He has something for us that maybe is way beyond our expectations because of who he is. But we don't really realize the vastness of God. And sometimes you just have to dwell on that to even get there.
He'll take steps that are unconventional in order to reach us. And this was very unconventional.
Mm-hmm.
Him speaking to a Samaritan woman, him actually even coming into Samaria. This was completely unconventional. People, they just didn't do that. But he knew There was, I believe, it's almost like it reminds me of the story of the woman with the issue of blood, how he felt issue leave his body, that drawing that her body took from his. I feel like he almost knew that there was a woman that needed him, that was drawing him somehow by the Spirit. And God will do anything, even if it's unconventional, like talk to a woman he's not supposed to talk to. You know, he'll do whatever it takes in order to get us. And I love that about him, because he's talking to a woman that anybody else would not talk to.
Jesus is not worried about protocol.
He is not at all.
And he is not worried about what others will think. He's worried about your soul. He's worried about your heart. He's concerned about your condition. That's Jesus. The only thing that if he is troubled over anything, he's troubled over our condition.
Yeah.
He's troubled over the fact that we are sons and daughters and we don't know who we are. Mm-hmm. And that hurts him because it's like, I mean, you guys picture this. You have a son or a daughter and they have amnesia and they've lost their memories. For whatever reason, and they're living a life that you know, and let's say they get lost, and they're living this life that's not who they are, and maybe they're living on the streets somewhere because they don't have an identity, and you as a parent, knowing that your child's lost out there somewhere, and then you find out that you maybe heard something about them, but they're on the streets and they don't even know who their identity is. Can you imagine the longing in your heart? That's what God feels for us. It's like, oh my goodness, you don't know who you are. You are royalty. You are from my lineage. You are my child. And he just wants to draw us up into himself and be healed. I mean, that's the heart of God. And he would give us living water if he could. And he does. And he wanted to give her living water. And when I see this, and I tried to find a translation that translated it, but I just want to say that it's water that's alive. There is another time this same word is used, and where it talks about being alive, and it's Hebrews 4:12. It says the word of God is living and active, and we know that it's describing an alive word there. So this is alive water. This is not stagnant water just sitting somewhere. This is water that has a source of life connected to it. And that's what he's talking to her about. And she immediately gets this thought, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? So she does what we do all the time. God gives us these amazing promises, starts saying, hey, you know, I want you to have eternal life. I want you to have life abundantly. I want you to be a, more than a conqueror, all these promises. And immediately said, well, boy, I mean, I know what you're saying, but, you know, how are you going to do that? Because have you seen my condition? Or, I mean, do you know what kind of a mess I am? Or do you know how far away you are from me? I mean, I can't hardly hear you. And we start bringing out these things in the natural, and we short circuit what God wants to do in and through us. Because he's not worried about any of that stuff. Just as Jesus was not worried about that he didn't have a rope, and that the well is very deep, and that where would he get this living water? He wasn't concerned about any of that because he knew the source was him. And the source was Holy Spirit. And that when she connected with him in a divine way, that was in a supernatural way, that was going to be fulfilled. So let's look at verse 12. It says here, and besides, this is her again, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? Now Jacob, the father of Israel, I mean, the father of all Israel. I mean, you know, his name was Israel. I mean, this was his well. I mean, you're better than Jacob. You're better than my great, 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 32 times or whatever it is, grandfather who gave us this well. How can you offer better water than what was given to him by God? I mean, she starts like, you know, questioning things. And I think we do the same thing in our lives. We question God's ability to do things for us. We question God's ability to work in our lives. I mean, did we not learn a few weeks ago that it's God at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure? It's not us. It's him at work in us. Jeremiah 2:13 is the first time that the actual word living waters are used in the Old Testament. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, that's one, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So God himself is declaring through Jeremiah that he is the fountain of living waters. Mm-hmm. So what was Jesus saying when he said, if you asked me, I would have given you living waters? He's saying, I would have given you me. Mm-hmm. All of me. I wouldn't have held anything back. You would have had living waters. And we'll read exactly what that does. And instead, they made cisterns, broken cisterns, that can't even hold water. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of an old wineskin. Mm. It says that you know, the people of God can't really receive all that God has from them in an old wineskin or an old traditional format, right? It can't be based on what we've necessarily known before or what we've even lived out before, that there has to be a softness and a pliableness to us, and that's a new wineskin. And if we make our own vessel prepared ourselves to contain God through our own works, folks, we're not going to be able to contain him that way. The only way we're going to be able to contain him is to remain pliable and soft and yielding and yes in our heart and to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that keeps us where we can contain the living waters. See, because, I mean, we'll go a little bit further. John 7:37-38. On the last day, this is the last day of the feast. This is Jesus. He was coming into their midst. And he says, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water flowing out of heart. And then down, the next verse down says, and this he spoke of the Spirit that would be given not many days from there. And so we look, Jesus is referring to thirsting and drinking and equating to how we get this living water. See, I think the first thing we have to realize is to get living water, we have to be thirsty. We have to be parched. And, you know, you can be, you know, full and satisfied in God. And you can, you know, not receive anything from. And you can also be basically where your thirst is all quenched and everything and not receive anything from God. And I believe being thirsty is a key. And if I think about this analogy now, what gets you thirsty? Salt, right? Does salt ever make you thirsty? You guys get some salty fries, you know, at a restaurant or you know, just put salt on your food and all of a sudden, oh, I need a drink because you're thirsty. And if you think about it, we're the salt, right? Says that you are the salt. Yeah. So I believe that when we get around each other and you get around somebody that's really salty, somebody that's really carrying that hunger and that desire for God, can make you more thirsty. So if you go, Pastor Mike, I'm not very thirsty. Get around some people who are hungry and thirsty. And guess what? What?
Who are,
and you're going to get some thirst. In verse 13, Jesus says back to her, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. He's pointing to the well, I'm sure. Anyone who drinks from this water is going to get thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give, those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. That challenges me, that statement right there. We'll never be thirsty again. Because how is it that I'm never to be thirsty again for what he's talking about? I believe he must be talking about for the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit, I don't think we'll ever be thirsty again for the Holy Spirit. But I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. But I think that's for more of God. But I think what he's communicating to her is himself and the Holy Spirit. That if you are in a parched, dry area of your life and you've never experienced the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ, when he comes, he's going to make it so you never thirst for that again. There's going to be a satisfaction that comes to you. And I have to say, at least that is in my life, that there's a satisfaction of having God in my life. But I want more of God. Are you thirsty still? Mm-hmm. So you see how that's kind of challenging, never be thirsty again?
Yeah.
But then it says here, in John 6:35, and he's talking about communion here. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So in coming to him, there's a fulfilling of our appetite. And in believing in him, there's a fulfilling of our thirst. There's a quenching, so to speak, mm-hmm. of our thirst that comes. Then anyone who drinks this water will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. See, I think this is a key that we need to focus on, is that what we have is something that is constantly feeding us. It's not like just a one-time deal. I know a lot of times we get caught on an experience we have someplace, somewhere, sometime, and that experience ends up becoming our reference point for our whole life in God. And maybe it was an amazing mountaintop, but I'm here to tell you that this water that he gives, this life that he gives us, this, as it says, eternal life, mm-hmm. is a bubbling brook. Like, it's constantly feeding us. That's why it's likened to an artesian well. I mean, if you go to an artesian well, it's always got fresh water flowing. It's coming with pressure from the very, you know, bowels of the earth, you know, and because of the way that the earth sits and everything, maybe sometimes it's coming from a higher place, but it's coming up from the ground with pressure. And it's very clean and healthy water. That's what this life is supposed to be like, bubbling up.
I remember a couple of summers ago, we went with Jay up to some mountaintop somewhere that way. And we had packed a lunch, and we were just traveling between the two passes. And we came upon this still little pond. Was it a pond, like, Jay, when you say? It was very still, though. You could tell there was no life to it. But we were getting eat up by mosquitoes because it was dead water. It wasn't fresh. It wasn't alive.
And we had to get out of there.
We had to take up our lunch and go somewhere else to eat because, honestly, we were being eaten up. And what I love about this is it says in 14, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. But what I love about that is that it lets me drink. I mean,
right.
I have to drink in order to get it. And you guys, I've come to think that, and I may be wrong and I'm open to that, but I've come to think that we are more part of the equation than we ever thought possible. We, as people of God, are more of the equation to this relationship with him than we ever thought. It is not a sit in your seat and just wait for me to come and go, boom, from the Lord, and you'll get it. We are more part of the equation than we ever thought before. And the equation part of it is all wrapped up in a love relationship with him.
Yeah.
Because if we love him and we're in direct relationship with him, we're going to want more. We just are. Could you imagine being married to somebody and being their roommate? Not having any personal relationship at all, intimate relationship at all, just living in a house together, kind of like roommates. That would be very unfulfilling. That would be terrible. And God doesn't want that for his relationship with us either. He wants us to be as much of a vital part of this as he is. And when we drink the water, it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Fresh, bubbling, continually. I love that.
So I have a question for you. How do you drink the water? How would you describe drinking the water?
Me personally?
It says drink the water, right? I mean, when we come to the Lord,
she doesn't pick up a cup and start drinking.
Right.
She starts to get to know the Lord. She begins to understand we don't want to go ahead, but, you know, sir, are you some kind of prophet, she says.
Right.
She's becoming interested in who this man is by the well. She begins to allow her natural-born curiosity to begin to take on a spiritual nature because he has something I know I need. She's being drawn to him, but she's allowing, you guys, we have choice. She
right.
is allowing him to draw her. And we could go through this whole Christian life and never let God draw us at all. But he's like, what's in that? Why would you do that? Why would you waste your time? I've got so much more for you than what you're. And so I would get closer to him and I would want more of him. I just the beginning of the year, I started really, really committing to giving the Lord the first part of the day. And I've tried to keep that up. I've missed a couple days, but I'm still working on it. And I can't believe the change inside my heart. The change inside me is nothing on the circumstantial part of my life has changed. Everything is still the same. But deep inside, that spirit woman that's in there, that's changed. And I want more of him because I'm getting more of him.
Right. But you didn't start this year off saying, well, I really blew it last year, so I need to be a better Christian.
No, I didn't.
And I need to do these things. You said, Lord, I want to have a deeper relationship. I want to drink your water that
yes,
you're offering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I started drinking, it made me want to drink some more.
Mm-hmm.
And get some more. And have some more. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a... have you ever been to a wedding where they had a sweet table? Has any of you guys ever been to a wedding and they have all these different candies and all these different jars and you can go up and get your little container and start filling it with all the... Has anybody been to a wedding like that?
Yeah.
Could you imagine a child going up to a sweet table, only getting one piece of candy and walking away? I can't see a child doing that. I mean, no kid in their right mind would settle for one piece of candy. Why are we?
Right.
Why are we settling?
Bag of potato chips. You're never going to eat just one.
But why would we settle for one piece of candy when God says, once you have it, it's going to be fresh and bubbling and you can have more and you can have more. And you're never going to be thirsty because you're continually taking in more and more and more.
Well said. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I want to hear a testimony. Seek like, oh boy. Last week, first of all, does anybody have anything about what we've been sharing about first? Because I want to give you an opportunity. Living water is alive water. And if you feel like you have been in a stagnant place or that you're getting eaten up by spiritual mosquitoes, you need to get the living water flowing. Now, I would say that from my understanding in the past, that because I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that when I pray in the Spirit, praying in tongues, that it would help the living water flow. But you can also pray in the Spirit by just unhooking your natural mind, and you can pray with just like a flow, like just start saying, Lord, I thank you for your good, and let your understanding kind of be disconnected and let your spirit flow. If you don't pray in tongues, you still can have a spiritual connection. And the reason being is because when that flows, just like when I was singing that song, the worthy is the lamb, that was like by the Spirit. And what that was doing, that was like letting living water flow in me. At least I'm like, oh, this feels really good, and like, you know, I could stay in this place, you know. And And it can be addictive. It really can, because the presence of the Lord is really supposed to be amazing. It's not supposed to be, yeah, I had to get in the presence of the Lord today. Boy, that's really rough. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be fullness of joy. And oh, wow, I mean, it's like, you know, candy. This is good. And I want to keep eating it.
Candy.
I want more candy. The Lord's not candy, but I mean, it is a good illustration, right? Yeah. So anything, does anybody have anything else they want to share about that? Okay, praise the Lord. No one? Okay. So Zeke, last week Zeke, and this is a segue into what's going to take place next. Last week Zeke, well, I'll let you describe what happened. And remember, we have to be out of here by one, so just kidding. He's a salesman, so
I'll
he
have
knows
you gone
how to
before
talk.
That, don't yeah. worry. So I think it was, I hope you're comfortable. So I think it was, I've been getting sick for about a week. I started getting sick, and it was getting worse and worse and worse, and I knew I was getting some sinus thing going on, and I hate sinus infections. I hate them. You know, they don't let you sleep, your head hurts. So I think it was Saturday night, Tara's like, you know what, since I couldn't hear anymore, I had both ears, and I couldn't smell anything, so anything you cook, I couldn't smell anymore, and I was getting these terrible headaches, and I already knew, like, oh, man, it's a sinus infection. Tara's like, you know what, if you don't get better by Sunday, then you need to go to the doctor, you know, because it was getting bad. So we were sitting down on Sunday, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to need to get prayed for, because I don't want to deal with it because, you know, they give you this strong medicine and, you know, like they call it a three-pack or a six-pack or something. I mean, it takes a Z-pack, but it takes everything out of you. It dries you up. You feel like a piece of sandpaper. You know what I mean? It's horrible. I mean, sometimes the medicine they give you is worse. It's worse than the sickness. I didn't want to deal with it. So, and Tara, right away, she's like, I was ready to go. I was just waiting for them to church to be over so we can come up, you know. So I saw them come up, and I was the first one. I was like, man, you know, I don't want to deal with it. And a while back, about a year ago, I started just letting God take care of things. And sometimes being sick, you figure, yeah, it's not such a big deal. It's just a cold. Mm-hmm. But I felt like that in the beginning. I'll kick it, right? I was in Salem. I'm going to kick it. But I wasn't kicking it. So come Sunday, like, you know, I'm going to just get prayed for. And, you know, if God wants me to get healed, he's going to heal me. So we came up that day, and they both started, you know, praying for me. And right away, he asked me, Zeke, do you feel anything? Yeah, I do. I feel something. And it's like I could almost hear out of my ears. I'm starting to hear this, like when you blow your nose and you hear that. Kind of how, yeah, that, you know, like it runs,
make the sound
it runs
it's
back
gross.
Through your
yeah.
sinuses. I could hear it in both ears, and I told him, yeah, I can feel this cold sensation coming up through my throat and up through my nose, you know? And, you know, it was working, and I asked him, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for my knee? Because about 6 or 7 years ago, I was, you know, playing with my boys, and I do not play, you know, I'm not a sports guy, you know, I don't grab a ball, at least I'm throwing it at someone or something, but, you know, I was showing off, and I blew out my knee, and it hurt. I mean, it slipped off from its, you know, where it should have been, and I always felt like I'm kind of a tough guy, and I kicked it, and it snapped, like it went back in place, and it didn't hurt. What hurt is walking on it.
Yeah.
And every time I told my, she says, is it buggy? Only when I step on it, you know, kidding around. But if I step on it, it'd slip off. And I mean, it was like, man, it was a big grape. What was that big orange we saw the other day?
Grape pomelo.
The pomelo. I mean, it was like a pomelo on my knee, you know? And, so I couldn't go to the doctor. I think that was a Saturday or Sunday. So I went on a Monday, and the doctor says, Zeke, can't see anything. You know, we can't x-ray it. We can't MRI it because it's too swollen. And I said, well, you know, I need something because the pain won't let me sleep. She said, well, just, she didn't give me pain medication, but she gave me a brace. I was able to sleep. And so a week go by, and I came in. It was Barb who prayed over it because I was thinking, man, this isn't right. You know, it's not feeling right. And I'm not the big guy on surgery. So she prayed over it, an instant and started feeling better. And I always remember my daughter says, how do you feel, Dad? Better every day. I tell her, I feel better every day. And I really believe from prayer that day, it started getting better. Well, here we are 7 or 6 years later, and I'm thinking, you know, still feels like something. Like, you know, God healed it, but I feel something going on in that knee and ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So I made an appointment, and that's why I had them pray on it, because like, I didn't want to hear that I had to go through surgery. Because, again, I'm not big on surgery. And I always feel kind of like, I've always felt like kind of a tough guy, you know what I mean? So I had them pray for it, and I felt, you know, a little tingling in the knee, not the ankle, but the knee. And it always feels tingling, but when they were praying for it, it was happening. He said, Zeke, do you feel some heat? I didn't feel the heat, but I did feel something. So we went home. No, we went to eat. Okay, so, you know, you prayed for two things, my knee and that sinus infection that was already starting to beat me up. We went over to get something to eat at Antojitos, and I told Terry, you know what? I can smell my food, which I hadn't in about 4 days. And I could hear out of one ear, not both, you know. But by the end of the day, the headache was gone. I can smell my food, and I can hear from both ears.
Wow.
So it started, you know, God started healing it. You know, in the past few days, I feel so much better. I can see clearly, because, you know, when you're that sinus infection, you can't even see clearly. So I can see fine. I can hear out of both ears. I can breathe and smell quite a bit. So on my knee, I went to the doctor on Monday.
Uh-huh.
So this was Sunday. So this is Monday. So I went and I talked to the doctor. Fantastic doctor, let me tell you. He was a fantastic doctor. He says, go ahead and sit down and, you know, put these shorts on. I'm like, all right. You know, kind of those awkward shorts. That you see when you're that big. He had me do a couple exercises. And he was pushing on my knee. And he's like, does it hurt? I'm like, no. Sure hurt now. I'm like, mm-mm, don't hurt. He said, push back on it. He bent my knee and everything. He's like, well, let's go look at the x-ray. He says, there's nothing wrong with the ankle. If anything, it's something going on with the knee. And the ankle's getting the end of it. He says, all right. So they took all the pictures and he came back and he looked at it. He's like, nope. He says, nothing really wrong with your knee. He says, when did you hurt it? I said, about, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. He says, the bone's fine. He says, it sits where it's supposed to sit. It's aligned, you know. You know, you injured it, I'm sure. He says, but, you know, it's healed. He says, I can't do anything for your knee. He says, surgery. He goes, I can't help you. He says, you've already been healed.
Praise God.
He says, if you want to push it, if you go into surgery, I might make it worse than it already is. He tried to explain, he says, your tendon or ligament, he says, it's like, you know, it was stretched from your injury. He says, but it's only so big. You know, your ligament that holds that knee together is about this big. And it's all been healed except for this little bitty piece.
Wow, praise the Lord.
He says, and that's why when you bend on it, he says, it feels like it's going to slip, but it doesn't, right? I said, right, it doesn't. He says, you know, you've healed it, right? You know, I didn't say anything about the prayer. And I thought about it. So I said, yeah, I should have told him. You know, I got prayed over. But I didn't think. But he says, so that ligament has healed itself. All except for one little spot. He says, because that's the spot you've been bathing. He says, but he gave me some pamphlet. He goes, read this. You know, exercise it. He says, and you'll heal it the rest of the way. He says. Yeah. But I, you know, if you guys knew me when it was hurting, there was a lot of pain. And I could not keep that thing to sit in place. Until Barb started praying for me, and you praying for me just gave me, you know, the want to, the courage to go and see what's wrong, you know, and honestly, there's nothing wrong. But even after the prayer, even, you know, just knowing that God has healed, you know, about that much of that ligament, and there's only a little bit left, because, you know, I told myself, you know what it is, it's us not having that full faith that he's going to restore it, right? It's just us thinking, like, you know, why did I go to the doctor? Because there was that little bit of untrust that he didn't heal it. But he has, you know. I think, I was like, I told Pastor Mike, you know what? I came up for prayer feeling like I'm going to receive it. You guys, so you have to receive it, right? If they pray for you, you receive it. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your healing. You know, I believe that you're going to heal it. I believe that you're the healer. And, you know, that's what I was telling myself when you were, because I think it was Pastor Mike who taught us that. He's like, you know, you have to receive it. You can't just leave not receiving anything, not thinking that it's not going to work, that God isn't really healing it. So I believe that you were going to, you know, you guys were going to heal me, that you guys, you know, they have that touch, you have that gift that God is giving you to heal us. But yet we have to receive it. And if we don't receive it, I probably would have went home. Sinus infection would have really kicked in. Probably would have gone to the doctor, dry as a sandpaper, you know. But I believed in it. And I believed that gift was going to heal the rest of that knee.
Amen. You
know? And it didn't just heal it, but it made me think of it different. Like, you know, that I shouldn't have doubt. You know, that knee was been healing for a while, and God's been healing it, you know, because that's what he said. You know, I told him, you know, for a while after the whole knee thing and after Barb had prayed for it, I don't know why. Well, maybe I do, but I don't know why I felt like I should start working out again. I started going to the gym, and with the messed up knee, I was running like 5 miles a day.
Wow.
You know, I remember telling Tara, you know what? I feel my knee stronger now than it was before I even hurt it. Because I think God says, all right, this is your physical therapy. I'm going to put you on that treadmill, and you're going to run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did. And I think just slowly he started healing it. But in my, you know, natural mind, I felt, you know, I was doing it on my own. And I didn't think that's what was healing it, but it did. He's healed it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I believe, Lord, help my unbelief.
That's what I said.
I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Amen.
Praise God. He is the healer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, praise God. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and have Joe and Christine come on up. And anyone who has any kind of sickness, you heard cold. If you're, I would even add, if you're hungry more for the Lord, or you want to be thirsty more for the Lord, Gay and I are available. Others here can pray with you, But whatever your need is, just know that the Lord is able to meet your needs. It says to come boldly before the throne of grace. I know that this isn't necessarily the throne of grace, but in your heart, as you approach and have a great need from God, it's as if you're, even though you're coming to Joel and Christine, you're actually coming to the Lord, because they're just vessels. We're just vessels. Like today, I mean, I'm just a vessel that's just communicating some of these truths, but it's really the Lord and the Holy Spirit who's speaking to your heart. So, Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that as we have all had a fire set in us today, Lord, that we'd continue to kindle that fire of your presence. And Lord, that we would be able to hear, Lord, what you have for us, for not only for one life, Lord, but for our own lives, Lord, and that you would supernaturally empower us, Lord, with your grace to walk in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.